な
Thank you.
Ah, però non so. Allora, che c'hai a rispettare questa tantissima, se ti va in greco. Si la fai c'hai andata a vincere la parte di danza, Swami Maharaja. Si la fai fare chi? Anan tu ti vai a prendere chi? Sava metà parte a prendere chi? Gora premena chi? Oh, glories to the assembly. Oh, glories to the assembly. Oh, glories to the assembly. Oh, glories to CC Guru Shikranga. Oh, glories to Shila Prabhupada. Krishna Krishna Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Today, a morning lecture about one of my most favorite spiritual subjects is about chanting the holy name. I think we all acknowledge that this is maybe the core practice. It is the most, let me say, important part of our own spiritual practice, and yet it is a part where we can constantly improve. And I know that many of you are finding it necessary to get some more inspiration on the chanting so that they can do much better and do it the way they like to do it. So I will lecture a little bit on this. Hare Krishna, very happy to be seeing all of you, but I'm just so tired that I need to focus all my energy on getting this very important class done. I will relax a little bit later and greet all of you affectionately, but now I request you to zero on in. I would like to talk this morning about a very important, if not essential, aspect of our japa and kirtan practice. And that is the question I would like to give an answer. What is going on in the heart of the Lord when He sees us chanting? I think we all know what goes on in our heart. Sometimes we are very inspired, and other times we find it hard to remain fixed on our process. But what is going on with Krishna? I mean, after all, we are chanting His name. Or, as Prabhupada says, we are addressing Him, we are calling out to Him, we are speaking to Him. Is He taking notice of it? Or is He maybe not interested, unless we are chanting like Raghunath Das Goswami? What is going on on His side, so to say? And this will be the subject of this class. We have picked a verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nanishkrite Urgita Brahma. Nanishkrite Urgita Brahma. Naniskrite udita brahma vanibis.
Naniskrite udita brahma vanibis.
Tata vishuddhyat yagavan vratadibi.
Tata vishuddhyat
yagavan vratadibi. Always love the Sanskrit pandits. If you can do it always, better. Yata hare nama pade udharitais.
Yata hare nama pade udharitais.
Tadutama shloka guno palambakam.
Tadutama shloka guno palambakam.
Naniskrite udite brahma vanibi.
Tata
vishuddhya jagavan vratadibi.
Tata vishuddhya jagavan vratadibi.
Yata hare nama pade udharitai.
Yata hare nama pade udharitai.
Tatuttama shloka guno palambakam.
Tatuttama shloka guno palambakam.
Nanishkritai ruditer brahmavadibis.
Nanishkritai ruditer brahmavadibis.
Tadha vishudhya yagavan vratadibis.
Tadha vishudhya yagavan vratadibis.
Vatha hare nama padai rudahvitai.
Yatha hare nama padai rudahvitai.
Tadutamo shoka guno pavambakam.
Tadutamo shoka guno pavambakam.
Naniskritai ruditai brahma vadibis.
Naniskritai ruditai brahma vadibis.
Tata vishuddhyat yagavan vratadibi.
Tata vishuddhyat yagavan vratadibi.
Yata harer namapadair udahritais.
Yata harer namapadair udahritais.
Tad utama shloka guno palambakam.
Tad utama shloka guno palambakam.
Yes, Mataji's, please.
Nani Shritai Rudita Brahma Vajibis.
Tata
Vishudhya Yagavan Vratadibis. Yada hare nama padai
udahritais.
Tadutama shloka guno palambakam.
Thank you, Anandi. Glavan has spoken.
Niskritai,
niskritai,
by the process of atonement. Uditai,
uditai,
prescribed.
Brahmavadibi,
by learned scholars such as Manu.
By learned scholars such as Manu.
Tata,
to that extent,
Vishuddhyati,
becomes purified.
Agavan,
a simple person,
Vratadibi,
by observing the laws and regulated principles,
Yata,
yes,
Alehe,
Alehe,
of
of Lord Hari.
Of Lord Hari.
Nama Padai.
Nama Padai.
By the syllables of the holy name.
By the syllables of the holy name.
Udaritai.
Udaritai.
Chanted.
Chanted.
That.
Uttama
Shloka.
Uttama Shloka.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Guna.
Guna.
Of the transcendental qualities.
Of the transcendental qualities.
Upalambakam.
Upalambakam.
Reminding one.
Reminding one.
So this is one of the verses which you find almost identical verses all over the Bhagavatam. These verses explain that there are certainly processes of spiritual elevation which do give great benefit, but they don't come close to the benefits which I experienced when one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And these verses give always a little reason. Hare Krishna, you brought the children in. Good morning, Saraswati Leela. Thank you for coming. Arjuna is also interested. Arjuna, you might like to sit with the other children. Or maybe you have too much of Brahmachari at this moment. So the verse, please concentrate, says, by following the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or undergoing atonement, sinful men do not become as purified as by chanting once the holy name of Lord Hari. You could follow ritualistic ceremonies or do some processes of atonement, but this won't purify the heart as much as chanting even only one name of Lord Hari. Although ritualistic atonement may free one from sinful reactions, it does not awaken devotional service, unlike the chanting of the Lord's name, which reminds one of the Lord's fame, his qualities, his attributes, pastimes, and paraphernalia. Let us just again try to understand this verse. It says there are other processes, but they just don't purify the heart as much as chanting does, and they also don't awaken devotional service or bhakti in your heart. So he's a perfect. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, God, he always has interesting things to say. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord has special significance that distinguishes it from the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of atonement for severe, more severe or most severe sinful actions. There are 20 types of religious scriptures called Dharma Shastras, beginning with the Manu Sanhita and Parashara Sanhita. But herein it is stressed that although one may become free from the reactions of the most sinful activities by following the religious principles of these scriptures, this cannot promote a sinful man to the stage of loving service to the Lord. This is the distinguishing feature. Chanting brings you to bhakti. On the other hand, chanting the holy name of the Lord even once not only frees immediately from the reactions of the greatest sins, but it also raises one to the platform of rendering loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's described as Uttama Shloka because he's famous for his glorious activities. Thus one serves the Lord by remembering His form, His attributes and pastimes. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that this is all possible simply by chanting the Lord's holy name because of the Lord's omnipotence. What cannot be achieved through the performance of Vedic rituals can be easily achieved through the chanting of the Lord's holy name. To chant the holy name and dance in ecstasy is so easy and sublime that one can achieve all the benefits of spiritual life simply by following this process. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore declares, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtan. The Sankirtana Prabhupada speaks about something personal, that is his own movement, and why he did it and what he did there. The Sankirtan movement we have started offers the best process for becoming purified of all sinful reactions and coming immediately to the platform of spiritual life. Hare Krishna. So we can become purified and come immediately to the platform of spiritual life by chanting. And once again, it has been indicated here, this is so because of the power of the holy name. And I want to speak about this. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatyaleshatayine Vandiyam Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagratam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Cham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savabhutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Dalita Shri Shakanditam Sha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Govesha Govika Ganta Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jananda Shri Advaita Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare When you perform a ceremony or do some exert some efforts in any type of yoga practice, this is only a process, something which you do. But the moment you chant, you are not alone. The moment you chant, address Krishna through His holy name, he becomes attentive to you, and he takes your case serious and responds and reciprocates. This is a difference. A process of spiritual life does not really respond to you, because it's a process, it's not a person. But calling Krishna means the Lord feels, oh, here someone has called me, what do I do now in relationship to him? It all of a sudden becomes very personal. No, very personal. In the previous verse, there is a very verse, a very nice thing. It says the mati, Krishna's mati, or Krishna's attention is awakened when one chants. He becomes attentive to you. This verse, you must understand, is coming in the context of the Ajamila, the deliverance of Ajamila. I think you all know the pastime, but let me just summarize it to give the essential point. Ajamila was a sinner who chanted or called out the name Narayan at the moment of his death, but he did not really mean the Lord. He was thinking of his 5-year-old son who was playing nearby and who did not understand or notice that his father was dying. So he called out to his son to get his attention and maybe his help or his solace or his presence, you know, like a dying man, he needs help. So he called out for his son. But because the name of Krishna was there, Krishna became attentive. I think this is normal for a person. If I would call out, if I were to speak about Arjuna, for instance. See, this little boy, I didn't speak about the boy. I was talking, thinking of Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. But because this little boy who is playing is also called Arjuna, he immediately, oh yes, was listening. I meant someone else. I think that is normal. If I would speak now Tridha Sharoy, and I mean Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but see, Tridha Sharoy stops sending an SMS immediately because he feels, oh, it's me, everyone looks at me. But no, we were talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is what happens to Krishna also. We may talk about another name. We may say Gaur Govinda, but immediately Lord Chaitanya thinks, well, someone called my name. What's up? What's going on? Because he is also a person, like you are a person, and he has that natural feeling. If someone calls him, calls his name, even if he meets someone else, he's, oh yeah, then of course he is disappointed when like a person is, when, oh, he didn't meet me, why, what is going on, what is our relationship, but he becomes attentive. And this verse in the Bhagavatam speaks that the mati of Krishna becomes arisen or awakened. The mati means the attention when you call out. Here's the verse for you. It's a long verse, but I will just say the end of the verse. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons as Arjuna, may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who thinks, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. Do you now understand why there is so much emphasis on the chanting, even if you don't do it properly, because you are a new person on the spiritual path? But Krishna becomes attentive to your situation, and he thinks, "Oh, he has chanted my name. At least he tried. He's a new person, but he tried. And then my duty is now to give him protection. I have to respond. I have to reciprocate." This shows you that the heart of Krishna is very soft. He is very kind by nature. There is a logic, it's called the Kamujyanaya. It means, this is the logic of how much more. In other words, if Krishna is already responding to someone who's chanting inattentively, like Ajaviya did, how much more will he respond to someone who chants with full surrender? How much more? You know, if already he becomes, his attention comes to someone who chants his name, but he doesn't really mean it, then how much more will the Lord respond to someone who does this even by trying to surrender, be attentive? I would like to suggest a meditation for all of you. This meditation is meditation while chanting. When you chant, you can meditate and think, Krishna's attention is now on me. This makes a lot of difference. If you are aware that while you do something, that someone looks at you, like I'm looking now at Giridhari, who has come with his whole family from Ljubljana, although he's the cook at Govinda's. He has dropped for this morning his service there. He's just wanting to hear a lesson. So naturally, if I talk to him, I turn to him, his attention will be much more than if I would not turn to him. That's natural. So if you can think that while you chant, Krishna's attention is fixed on you, then I guarantee you, your chanting will be much better. So I have to just do something with my youngest member. Arjuna, setz dich doch richtig hin. Olaf, wenn es zu langweilig ist, dann musst du halt spielen irgendwo. Oder die Mutter muss sich um dich kümmern. So this is a very nice meditation. It's called Drishta Vichar. Drishta means the eyes of the Lord, and Vichar means to think about this. In other words, as we chant, we have to think that the eyes of the Lord are on me now. And my dear devotees, if you just can chant like this, and not so much in your own word, oh, it's Malatishko, oh, it's so difficult to be attentive, oh, this today I have to do so many things which I do not like to do. Oh no, this is a... Why did I make this mistake to promise I would chant 16 rounds? Why? I'm asking, why was I so foolish. I'm usually very intelligent. but now I made a mistake. You know, I gave a promise which will torture me. You know, if you forget all this, no devotee thought, but you think now I'm chanting, Krishna's attention is on me. He looks at me. He listens to me. Then you will naturally ask yourself the question, what will he see when he looks at me? Will he see a frustrated, eternal, young sect member who has no idea what he's doing? Or will he actually see someone who's maturing in his or her spiritual life and is making advancement? No? And this meditation will be very helpful for you. Just think of Ajami. This was a criminal. He was not like you. You are very exalted persons. But he was a criminal. And he had no intention to chant the Lord's name at his deathbed. There was no thought of this. But when he chanted the name Narayan, the Lord just thought, my God, he's chanting. Of course Krishna knew that he was thinking of his son, how much mercy Krishna gave him. So this reminds all of us of almost a little mantra of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which Prabhupada would repeat often. He said, don't try to see God, act in such a way that he sees you. Already he sees you when you chant, but now chant in such a way that he becomes, oh, impressed, oh, he's trying. I didn't know that he also tries to chant. Amazing. And then what will happen? Krishna will look at you. And, you know, when Krishna looks at you, it's not like if your friend looks at you, or your the person where you work looks at you, or any human being who looks at you. No, when Krishna has a very special type of looking. You must know that there is a certain substance in Krishna's corners of the eye. So Krishna usually looks at his devotees from the side like this. He looks at many devotees, so he just, you know, his eyes are always wandering. And then they come to the side of his eyes. And in the side of his eyes, there is a special type of mercy. It's called anugraha. Anugraha means, literally, graha means to grab. I have now grabbed my tamas, you know. So Krishna's anugraha, or mercy, is a mercy which grabs you. Come here. He takes you in his hand. He takes charge of you. This is what happens when Krishna looks at you. His mercy is coming through his eyes. You know, it comes obviously through the heart, but then it goes into the eyes, and when Krishna looks at you, that mercy grabs you. It takes you. It does something with you. It does not leave you in the same spot where you usually are. It just moves you along in your spiritual life. I would like to ask you a question. Do you already see sometimes that your life is not fully under your control, but Krishna is there and takes care of you? Have you noticed this sometimes? Have you maybe at times also become almost moved a little bit? Oh my God, he cares for me. Has this happened in your spiritual life? That I'm not so good. You feel like this. I'm often forgetting Krishna. But it seems he does not forget me. Have you noticed this sometimes? Further, I want to ask you, please think about the good things which happened in your life. I want to ask you, did they happen because of you? Usually it's something which happened that was not under your control. No, the good things, the real good things, like how you meet when you met your loving wife, your loving partner. I hope it's a good thing for you. This you did not control. It was arranged by Krishna. Or that you became a devotee. Or that you, when you visited Vrindavan, something happened to you. That was by Krishna's arrangement. I must tell you, my dear devotees, I very strongly in my where I am now in my Krishna consciousness, my very personal Krishna consciousness, I am just so grateful to Krishna, because what I can really see is that he cares for me. I can really see this almost every day. In the beginning I didn't believe it, because I thought, I'm so useless, why should he care for me? He may care for Nandini, but not for me. I'm useless. So I was again and again surprised. It's wrong. He also cares for me. I can see this very clearly. And why does he care? Because his matihi, his attention is on his devotees. His attention rests on his devotees, and he gives them his mercy in ways which he feels are good for his devotees. His mercy doesn't always come for every devotee in exactly the same way. His mercy is very individualized. He gives it just according to what the devotee needs at this time of his or her life. And there is a very interesting example in the 10th canto, the example of Sudama Vipra, which I think will interest you very much, because it shows you how what happens when the eyes of the Lord are on someone, when the matihi, the attention, rests on someone. I will quickly tell you the lila. Sudama was really a poor person. I mean, really poor. You may be from Croatia, you may be also poor, but you're not poor like Sudama. Poor. He was so poor that he didn't have enough to eat, and as a result, his veins were very visible, you know. I'm very fat, so you cannot see my veins, but when I'm skinny, then the veins were really visible. And he had dirty cloth. It was not that he was dressed in dirty, because he was a hippie. No, he only had one set of cloth, not more. He didn't have an extra dhoti. He had no shirt, you know, too poor. And therefore he just couldn't wash the cloth regularly, because he needed to go to places and, you know, needed his gamsha and his dhoti, you know, and so on. So therefore it was sometimes dirty. He had a wife which loved him very much. One day the wife said, I just can't tolerate how poor you are. You have a very rich friend. He is the prince of Dwaraka. Why don't you go and ask him for wealth? No, Devi, he said, I will not ask Krishna for money. He's too much of a friend to me. I think I ruin our relationship. But his wife was telling him, no, go. And finally he thought, I go. I will not ask him for money, but I will go to see him. And when I come home, my wife will ask me, have you asked him for money? And I will honestly say, I'm sorry, I just couldn't do it, but I saw I got his darshan. That was more important for me. So he said to his wife, okay, I will go, but we should give a present to him. Do we have something in the house? And she said, no, we don't have anything. But I will go to the neighbor and ask him for something. And when she came home, she presented her husband something. She said, Sudamaji, I don't think she, out of respect, she didn't call him by the name. She said, Pati, my husband, here is, I begged some broken rice. It's chipped rice, and it's a very poor gift, but you wanted to give something to the Lord. Thank you, said Sudama. I just can't imagine to come without giving the Lord something. See how nice he was. He didn't want to get something from the Lord. He wanted to give something to the Lord. That was his mood. So he went to Dwaraka. And Dwaraka, you must know, was something like a festung. I don't know how to say that in Croatian, but I can maybe ask Banandani, festung. How do we say it? Utrava. Utrava sapna? Utrava. Something, you know, so that no enemy can get you. There were six gates and six walls around the temple, not temple, around the town. It was highly guarded. It was, you know, like I don't know, some of you see movies, sometimes in the movie something is guarded. Six walls, one after the other. But because Krishna had given the orders, when brahmanas come, let them just pass, Sudama and a few other brahmanas were passing through one gate after the other. Now on the way, Krishna and Sudama was thinking, I mean, I'm going now to Krishna. I know him when we were children, when we went to school. Will he recognize me after all this long time? And he also, when he came into the town, he found out there was not one palace of Krishna. There were 16,108 palaces. Imagine you want to go to somebody and he has 16,108 addresses. That makes things complicated, you know. So Sudama was highly confused, you know, what to do and where should I meet him? And I don't know if he will recognize me. I look so ordinary. So he went towards one palace. It happened to be the palace of Rukmini. And what did he see? At the entrance of the palace, he saw Krishna waiting. I have seen this only twice in Croatia when I visited someone. They were waiting before the door because usually in the West we are not so polite and not so attentive. But Krishna had gone through this huge palace. He was standing alone in the gate. My friend is coming. My friend is coming. He walked to greet him on the way. I was so moved that my friend is seeing me. He's coming. Sudama's coming. You know, and he, when Sudama came close, he saw Krishna coming from out of the gate, a huge gate, you know, said, you have come. Sudama was, he not only recognizes me, he knew that I'm coming. Wow! So Krishna took his hand and he walked with him into the courtyard. This is the inner part of the realized that he gave him an embrace, Sudama didn't know what to say. You know that Krishna came, and then Krishna took him and led him to his private room, you know, the bedroom, and he sat him down on his bed and he said, Sudama, I'm so happy that you're coming. Now, just to give you a little idea how Sudama, what Sudama saw, I would like to chant for you a verse from Krishna Kadamrita. It's a verse spoken by Bilva Mangala Thakur when he saw Lord Krishna and totally became attracted to Krishna. Can I chant this for you? Maduram maduram vapuasya vibhu maduram maduram vadanam maduram madugandhi mridu smitametadavo. Now the last line, Bilva Mangala Thakur is so in ecstasy, he just cannot compose any verse any longer. He just goes like, maduram, 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 maduram. He becomes like a record who, you know, stays on the same tune, you know, because maduram means how sweet. Bilva Mangala says, the transcendental body of my Lord Krishna is very sweet. But sweeter still is his face. But his soft smile, which has the fragrance of honey, is the sweetest. You know, when Krishna smiles, his mouth opens a little bit and the smell from inside comes out, which is like very, very, very good Dalmatian honey, you know, even better. You know, that's when Krishna smiles, you know, he doesn't smile. And his white teeth are showing, and they are reflecting on the nose pearl. You know, it's just really something when the Lord smiles. So Bilva Mangala said, the body is already sweet, but sweeter is the face, but still sweeter. The best sweetness is the soft smile and the fragrance of honey which comes from this. So this is what Sudama noticed. So let me ask you, what do you do when you meet an old friend? By the way, this is the, you will see what they did, and it will give you an inspiration what you can do when you meet a friend. What do you do? Hug the friend?
Yes.
Yeah. That they did already in the courtyard. What could you imagine do they do now? Or how does Krishna start, you know?
He's trying to serve him.
He's trying to serve him. Do you do this with a friend when he comes? Yeah. Give something to eat, most probably. Well, first you talk very intimately with a friend. And this is what Krishna did. And usually you should talk about something which you have experienced with a friend. Something which lies in the past, but something where you bonded very closely. You would say, Krishna said to Sudama, Sudama, do you remember that one night? Yes, I will never forget that night. You know, when Krishna said, our Guru Maharaj's wife, she had said, we need firewood for the Yajna fire, but it was monsoon time, and there was a noisy cloud, and no one felt inspired to collect all the brahmacharis there. afraid maybe that the devotees get wet, or so no one wanted to go, but then both of us go, yes, said Sudama, both of us went. And do you remember that we got lost in the forest? Yes, I remember, said Sudama. And then we went under that tree because it started to rain, and oh, yes. This is what you do when you meet a friend, or when you come home to your parents, maybe talk about something where you bonded intimately. Do you know the word bonding? It means to make a real connection intimately. That's what you talk. That's how you become again close to each other. This, and you laugh and ha ha. You know, I remember, yes. And do you remember? Yes, I remember. But the other says, just, can you remember? Yeah, of course I can remember. I will always remember this. And then, you know, you talk like anything. And after 5 minutes, you talk like two cockatoos, you know. So inspired, so alive, you know. So they talked about this event, which you all know very well. You've heard it. And Nasudama had made up his mind. He said, I went and I got this present, this broken glass. But now I'm in this palace and I see everything is from gold and diamonds. Look as if total fool if I give this present to my friend, you know. Then Krishna said, did you bring something for me, Sudama? He knows everything, he's so intelligent, said Sudama. And out of embarrassment, he just was silent. He said, I can't, you know, I really can't. You know. So Krishna, appreciating the love of his devotees, went and grabbed the bag of broken rice, opened it, was a small bag, and began to eat it. Now, next to Krishna was Rukmini, the goddess of fortune. And she thought, my God, he eats this broken rice, soon will be lunch, and this is really the poor man's food. So she grabbed the hand of the Lord like this and said, it's enough, my Lord. It's enough. Because, you know, since he has given you a present, I, the goddess of fortune, consider it my duty to reciprocate and give him also a present. But if you eat so much, I have to give so much, you know. It's enough. But with her eyes, she looked like this to her maidservant, and she, through her eyes, she spoke, my Lord has such a tender stomach. It's so soft, his stomach. If this rice is so hard, it will upset him. So we better stop eating this. You can see how much love is going on. Love to Krishna. So Sudama spent the night with Krishna. Krishna, as our devotee from Romania has reminded us, served Sudama. He washed the feet of Sudama. He performed an arati. And Sudama, he accepted all this because he knew the Lord wanted to show that is the duty of every grihastha to receive guests, preferably Brahmin guests, and then worship them and serve them. And the Lord wanted to give this example. And Sudama, of course, knew what was in the mind of Krishna, therefore somewhat tolerated this treatment of the Lord. He slept in the palace of the Lord. The next morning, he wanted to go back because there were duties he had to do at home. You know, yagya duties, he was a brahmana. But Krishna said to him, I come with you some of the way. And he went this Sudama through his kingdom. The two went side to side. Why do you think that Krishna not invite Sudama on his chariot? Or a Vimana? What was in his mind? Why did he walk Krishna in Dwarka? It's not like Krishna in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Krishna always walks barefoot, but in Dwarka, he goes always on a chariot. He's the king, you know. Why did they walk? Think, please listen just to understand more what is Krishna thinking. Krishna thought, he's a Brahmana, and he's a Vaishnav Brahmana. I want that my kingdom is purified by the steps which he does. Therefore he should walk. It will not be so good if he rides on a chariot, because his feet won't touch the ground. So let me walk with him. And in this way, my desire is that he will purify the kingdom. This is how Krishna thinks about Sudama. So after some time, Krishna was saying goodbye to Sudama. And we cannot imagine how this goodbye was among the friends. They must have embraced. Sudama must have cried goodbye. But also Krishna was sad. And there was a reason. I've told this reason many times, but I like to tell it again. Krishna was thinking in his mind, this devotee has outdone me. He has come with a present for me. But this present is something which was beyond his means. He didn't own it. He had to beg for it. But, you know, when I get a present, I want to reciprocate in the measurement of the present. But I can't. He has given something which he didn't own, but I can't give something which I don't own, because I own everything. Therefore, I just couldn't reciprocate. Now what I will do, I will give him a little something like I can do. But something, you know, which I give to Brahma and Indra to fulfill their desire. But I just can't reciprocate. Do you also know this? When someone comes to give a present to you, and you came to him, he gives you a present, but you didn't bring anything. One feels bad, isn't it? Yeah, he gives me a present, he's so poor. He's given me a CD. Then he has given me marzipan with dates. Then, in addition to this, he has given me a new book. And I'm so ungrateful, I'm so uncultured, I didn't even think of bringing something. Or if you give something like a used piece of soap, you know, to a friend, and he has given you so much, you feel bad. So Krishna felt, this gift of the rice is very magnificent. It's a very big gift, because Sudama had to beg for it. He had to run and get it from his neighbor. I'm so useless, said Krishna to himself. I can't reciprocate the gift. I don't think he had said, I'm so useless. I hope he didn't say that. So Krishna, in other words, made up his mind to give Sudama a gift which he thought was insignificant in comparison. And you know, when Krishna makes up his mind, he wants to give you something. Yeah, there'll be something, you know. Maybe something. When Sudama returned to the place where was his old hut, he saw a huge palace with a big garden and servants walking. And when he was coming closer, he looked like a, you know, like with this dirty gamsha, dhoti, his veins. When he came closer, he saw that one woman who looked like a Gandhava came running towards him in the park, through the park, and behind her were servants. And when he looked at this woman, she was dressed so opulently that he recognized, my God, that's my wife. What happened to her? She had also, like me, no proper dressing, and so now everything so rich and golden ornaments and everywhere. His wife just looked at him and bowed down to him, and then with tears of just absolutely overwhelmed look, she could not speak. Then Sudama knew, oh Krishna, Krishna has given this palace where my hut was. He has given a huge palace, this park, and lakes and water and everything. And he's given nice decorations to my wife and a good sari. And as he was thinking like this, his body transformed. But he saw muscles were coming and he got a new body, a beautiful body, not like before, because Krishna had changed and transformed his wife. But his wife would not have recognized him if he would come, you know, in a poor dress, but like he was, you know. So, but what went on in Sudama? Did he become like a Croatian in America, you know, and enjoy all this? I'm sorry, I'm talking about, not about you, I'm talking about materialism. No, he thought in his mind, Krishna has given me this bell. This shows Krishna's qualities, for you've written it down, he thought, just see, the Lord considers even his greatest, he considers the smallest seva. I gave him a little rice, which is rendered to him, very important. And his own benediction, he thinks, is very insignificant. I wish to serve my Lord life after life. He is so supremely compassionate. I just can't believe how compassionate he is. But I must be very careful. I'm not fixed up like Prahlad Maharaj, who was the king of a kingdom. I'm not as advanced. It is not that I'm this much advanced. I better sleep on the floor. I don't go into this bed, you know, which is there, this opulent gold bed. Now you might think, Sachidananda Swami, we know you give a lecture and you have something in your mind. And, we are intelligent devotees. We know what you want to say. You want to say, if the eyes of the Lord fall on you, you will be blessed. And you gave an example for this. Sudama was blessed by the Lord. But give me one explanation. I gave the Lord more than a little broken rice. I have given, cooked every day a pot of rice for him. And it was, and I'm as poor as a dog. Why? If you want to say, if the eyes of the Lord fall upon a person who does seva, And who chants? That's your point in this lecture. We understood you very carefully. Why am I so miserable? And listen now very carefully to the explanation which Shukadeva Goswami says, gives. Check it, Pavle. You are a philosopher. You must now test this. You know, Shukadeva Goswami says, the Lord is always so grateful to even the littlest, smallest amount of service. But to a devotee who still lacks spiritual insight, he does not give something which will make them fall down. The intoxication of wealth can make a person fall down. We have seen this many, many times in our movement for good, for the attempt to become Krishna consciousness. Even a spiritually immature person gets something, you know, like wealth or success, he becomes fully puffed up. Look at your own life. When can you call out to Krishna the best way? Usually it is when you have seen your own incompetence, isn't it? When you see that you have blown it again, that you have done a mistake, then all of a sudden you pray. I know a devotee who didn't chant the 16 rounds, believe it or not, for many years. This sometimes happens. And I told him, wouldn't it be nice to start chanting, you know? It's you know, we are meant for spiritual life. Why? Because we are spiritual, we are souls, we are not the body. We might just as well start to act on the platform of reality, you know? Why not practice your spiritual life? And the devotee said, I just can't. I see intellectually, I should. But it's so difficult. Then something happened to the devotee. He became very miserable. Some great misery came upon him. I will not tell you what, so that you don't know. I want you know, to protect the privacy of this devotee. And some misery came, and then he started to chant like Haridas Thakur. Because a person who is still young in spiritual life and who has no deep spiritual insights will only come to the Lord when there is misery. Unfortunately, therefore the Lord feels like if I give him a palace, he will only look Batman from morning till evening in his palace, you know. He will just forget everything about Krishna consciousness. He will just be and enjoy materially. So therefore the Lord keeps us on our feet and doing it so on. But no matter what the Lord gives, if he gives you a palace or if he gives you 20 kunas, you know, it's the point is the same. When the Lord sees that someone chants, even without full attention, like some of us still do, the Lord's attention is immediately on that devotee. And he gives that devotee individually what is good for him. I sometimes think we should be a little bit more thoughtful, and then we will understand that whatever happens in my life is just what I need. Only if we protest because we want something else, you know. But please think carefully. If what you want, it's sometimes good that it's not fulfilled what we want. We sometimes have the wrong desires, no? I sometimes think about my life, I wish I would have the desire. I wish I wouldn't have the desire to read this book. I know I can dedicate this desire with my research work on how to reach and preach to in the postmodern times. You know, I will find a reason. I wish I wouldn't have to do this. This desire is so strong. I think I have to do it in a yukta vairagya way, in a way that I become Krishna conscious while I do this. You know. So sometimes, don't we have this? Don't you also have this? Oh, no. Oh. So Krishna doesn't fulfill all these desires which we have. And if he fulfills the desires, he does it in such a way that the devotees can still become Krishna conscious. But it's not exactly the way we want. It's the way how he sees it. So it's just like, I'm thinking of Giridhari and his wonderful children, Saraswati. Saraswati is there. Yes, Saraswati. Leela is also there, or playing. Leela, wow! He's surviving a lecture. Amazing. But Saraswati can understand, isn't it? English, you understand, right? Sometimes, you know, parents know. Now the children come in teenage life. Now they want to go out. They want to go to the disco with the friends. Oh, it's not good. But what to do? I did all these foolish things and I got burned. You know, I don't want my children to be burned, but what to do? What to do? And our Camino as parents. Now they want things. We are similar in that we sometimes want things which are not good for us. But we want them so strong because we are human beings. You know. So the Lord, his attention to us may be that he does not fulfill a dangerous desire. That may be his way of showing his mercy. His mercy may be like a loving father or loving mother who really thinks, oh no, he wants this, she wants this now, oh no. I can't say no, because then there will be war, but what to do, you know. And then the father and mother finds a yes, which is, yes, you can do this, this. There's this devotee discotheque. You know. Or yes, you can find something. You know. Or this devotee friendly discotheque. Four rules and regulations discotheque. I don't know, something like. But Krishna will create something which is good. But then we still protest. No, I wanted something else. You know. My point is here, my dear devotees, take courage. In the Bhagavatam, it's here in the Bhagavatam. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, sinful persons like Ajamil, if we are not like this, may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, because this person has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give them protection. So please, have an eye on this in your spiritual life. Please see that your life, the way you find it now, is Krishna's way of being attentive to you. It's Krishna's way of giving you what you need at this stage of your spiritual life. And by being grateful like this, you will get encouraged to chant more. And understand, well, the attention of the Lord is there. I'm just thinking what this means for our Harinam. I'm convinced that it's not so good to go on Harinam when the weather is like when no one sings and dances. You know, because people will think these people are again the Hare Krishnas. It's counterproductive sometimes. we may think, no, no, I am a strong devotee, I'm going out. But that's not the point, that you go. You can dance and chant here in the temple if you want all day. The point is that the people, it's a preaching activity. We must see what is in the interest of preaching. But on the other hand, Krishna also sees them. In a way, we chant. It's a difficult question. When we chant also for Krishna. We glorify him in the form of Zagar. That's a good mission also. We sing for him. So I don't know what we will do. So, Suvana, will the fork be there or will it go? Or do you not know?
The forecast is that it will be sunny during the day. Just this part of the morning will be rainy and then sun will come.
Sun will come. Good. It's besides the point. I want to make the point. Could you understand the point? When you take your beads and when you sit down to chant next time, think about this lecture. I mean, you will forget most of it, but think about this one point, that that Krishna's eyes are on you and he looks at you. Now, what will he find? When he looks at you, Father, what will he see? That's a good question. And I think if you meditate like this, you will think, Buddhidova, Father. You know, let's be as good as I can be at this stage of my life. And that will help you to chant nicely. You know, now I'm supposed to be an older devotee. I'm long in the movement. And often the devotees ask me to sing and chant. And I'm convinced that I cannot chant nicely because I have a terrible voice. It's not developed. And second of all, I don't think I'm devotionally very advanced. I know what I am much better than anyone because I have to live with me 24 hours a day. I'm very private. I'm even with me together when I go to the bathroom. I'm very close to myself. I'm the absolute authority on this. And so I have to sing, and there are so many good devotees, and they want to glorify Krishna. And then I'm thinking, okay, I will sing because I know Krishna will look at me. What will I do now? Will I sing for Krishna? Will I do my japa? I've written a book, The Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Name. Now I can't space out, you know, when after this book, you know, I have to try, and I can cheat people, but I can't cheat Krishna, so I better give my best. And this meditation has helped me so much. Just to know, you know, imagine God is next to you, Anandini. How will you do? You know, you will be at your very best, you know. Whatever that is. Isn't it, Adaka? We will try, yeah. Because we also care a little for Krishna, after all. We are his devotees, you know. It's not that we are not caring for Krishna. We are just sometimes helplessly covered by Tamas and Rajas. We are serious people in our Krishna consciousness. That's not the problem. The problem is just that we are not yet so experienced in spiritual life. But our motivation is good. Otherwise we would never do this. You know. I think it will bring the best out of you if you meditate how Krishna cares for his devotee. And I really wanted to tell you this example of Sudama Vipra, because how Krishna was so happy to receive him, because that's how he feels in relationship to each single devotee. But he may not give you a palace like he gave to Sudama Vipra, because Sudama Vipra was very qualified. To Srila Prabhupada, Krishna gave many palaces. Then Prabhupada, he said like this, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, a devotee who is in prema bhakti, he will get unlimited wealth from Krishna. Prabhupada was so innocent, he sometimes would say, Krishna gives so much, has given so much. We are spending in our temples. And he would tell in the open, you know, every day at least all around the world, and then he would calculate, and then he would easily $10,000 for food. You know, he would say like this. He would be proud that Krishna has given all of this. Look at this, it works. Here I'm not a poor devotee, I have left everything, and Krishna has given me palaces all over the world. Prabhupada would say, he would be not puffed up like a materialist, you know, but he would be joyful that my father has given me so much wealth. He's not a poor man. Look. It works. And he would give this as an example to encourage all of us to become devotees, you know. Look, he works, you know. But Krishna may not do this for every one of us. But that is good. Yes, he's very intelligent. He knows what is good for us. I'm saying this. There's one disciple who always who writes me of his letter. Please pray that I get money from Krishna. I'm so poor, you know. I mean, this devotee is very poor, so I have prayed one time that he gets some luxury. but I have also thought, no, Krishna is giving him according to his what Krishna thinks is good for him. Because he may be afraid, Krishna, that this devotee will be intoxicated by his present. He may be. Hare Krishna. I've said what I wanted to say. Please, sir, I think it's an interesting point. Usually we think how we feel when we chant, and we are not so encouraged often by what we see. This, I'm suggesting a paradigm shift, new word, paradigm shift. A total new concept in life. That you think, now, what does Krishna see when you chant? And it will help you to chant better. The eyes of the Lord are on you. This is at least the version of the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam when you chant. Hare Krishna. So I want to end here. Let me just see if I've got time. Oh, so late. Anyways, it's best it doesn't work. Do you have a question regarding this? Mm-hmm. Yes, Govinda.
Okay, I have a request. If you can read once more what Shukadeva Goswami said.
Yeah. Krishna does not give a devotee who lacks spiritual insight material wealth. The intoxication of wealth can make such a devotee fall down. On the other hand, he deals with him in a way which is useful for the devotees. You can find this verse. Yesterday, I didn't have so much time, I didn't write the whole verse. But you can find it. It's somewhere. It's in the Bhagavatam, you know, where the Sudama Vipra story can be found. I don't have it. I don't have that annotation. Just yeah,
If we desire to serve in real devotional service, that can be maintenance for us?
If we desire to do real devotional service, can that be dangerous for us? In the scriptures we are told we should do we should act according to our qualification. If we imitate someone who is on a much higher level than us without having the qualification, we might get difficult. For instance, Haridas Thakur chanted three lakhs of names, that's 190 something, 92 rounds. If we would try to imitate this, after some time, in order to do this, you have to drastically reduce your sleep. Now, when someone doesn't sleep, a normal conditioned soul, I saw a film on the internet, just 2 minutes, they begin to, I mean, 3 days without sleep, it doesn't work. Or like our devotees, you know, they get up for Mangal Aarti but sleep in the Bhagavatam class. You know, or if someone doesn't sleep, he will become easily irritated, he will be, and for his ego very easily when he doesn't sleep. It can be dangerous to imitate someone who's, that is affected. But you know, real devotional service better. You will hear when you come to the seminar, the hidden secrets of bhakti. Sometimes we have a total wrong understanding of what that is. And if you please come to the seminar, you might take a note block with you, because there will be some very new concepts which you have to think of over to understand them. And that you will certainly get a good understanding. And the only thing you can do wrong is to do something on another level, on the level which you are not, by imitating someone. But you can do real devotional service as a bhakta, like you are. There's absolutely no reason why you can't do real devotional service. you just can't imitate someone's style. So, Krishna, what will we do now? Take prasadam.
Sing.
We will sing and dance. No, I think devotees have things to do in relationship to the if there is a singing group, that's good. Singing group, temple. But there are other things we might need to do. I just wanted to say one little thing which is very important for me. This evening we will have a preaching program. There will be new people, and I want to request you, those of you who don't play instruments, or in other words, not in the Sharangataka Bhajan band, who are not official members, you can find out by talking with Sharangataka if you are an official member already. We just have a please come in the cloth in which you are dressed when you are outside. Please don't come in devotional cloth, because people always become a little irritated when, oh my God, I didn't know that this is a pure Hare Krishna event. I'm not sure if I'm on the right spot. They become irritated and then cannot give their best in chanting. They will have, their mind will ruin their experience for them. So please come in the cloth in which you usually are when you are not in the temple. So I'm thanking you very much. I will see you hopefully this evening if you have time. Come by all means, we need you. We need some bhakti shakti in the room. Please do come. And if I don't see you, I will start officially with the hidden secrets of bhakti as part of the Sunday feast. I will give an overview of the Sunday feast, and I consider this an important presentation. If you can come latest at that time, that would be good. So we will end our program here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gauri Jai ki jai, Sisi Sudama Mitra ki jai, Gaura Premanandi ki jai.